Well, Guybrush Threepwood, you do turn up in the strangest places.
Hi, Elaine. Do you think you could help me out?
How did you get into this mess?
It's kind of a long story.
Oh, that's okay. I've got time.
Well, it all started on Scab Island. Some of my admiring fans had pressured me into telling my LeChuck evaporating story once again.
This week in Your Parents' Basement, we are playing as the Mighty Pirate and Thrill Seeker, Guybrush Threepwood, as we explore Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge from 1991 by LucasArts for the PC. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the uptight dude whose life will be forever changed by monkey ownership. It's Yule Hauser.
Those guys wouldn't know a good story even if they paid $50 for it.
fourth wall breaking.
Knock it down.
And our other co-host, he considers himself a critical success and a commercial success. It's Todd Brisket.
Even if a woodchuck could chuck wood, and a woodchuck would chuck wood, should a woodchuck chuck wood?
Oh. Chuck three wood.
Yeah. You can reach us by email at parentsfaceandpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And hey, everybody, the holidays are here. And so is the music. Amazon now has free shipping on a whole bunch of goodies for your own sweet baby boys and sweet baby girls. So please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link. You can find it right on the YPB homepage, ypbpodcast.com. The YPB homepage is also where you can find our archive, which is accessible by clicking the button on the top of the page. You can track the evolution of the show and see all of the games we've covered. We're fun. This week's game is Monkey Island 2 from 1991. Released by LucasArts, this uses their popular game engine, Scum, script creation utility for Maniac Mansion. It is a continuation of The Secret of Monkey Island, which was the creation of LucasArts employee Ron Gilbert. He was annoyed that text and graphical adventure games of the time had punishing difficulty and lots of deaths. So he tried to do a game that didn't have those. Todd, we spun the wheel to get this game. Do you have any experience with it in the slightest?
Oh, in the slightest? Slightly. I would say slightly, yeah. You know, I am a huge LucasArts adventure game head fan from back in the day. Those are my jams. I played quite a few of those. For some reason, I never got into or never had the opportunity, the pleasure to play Monkey Island 2. This is, folks and fellas and ladies, this is widely considered the best LucasArts adventure game out of all of those. By many people, many rankings.
Oh,
this one specifically,
they have it at number one. This is, I mean, I don't know if we'll be able to do the justice to this game that people want to hear. This is going to be popping up on.
Well, why start?
Going to be popping up on people's news alerts, their Google alerts. Are going to say, oh, they're covering the game I love as a child, Monkey Island 2, LeChuck Revenge, and they're going to listen to it and hear that. I'm guessing none of us have played it before. Am I right?
none of us, including myself.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I have not.
I can't remember which one I played as a kid, but I played one of these for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I did. Mm. I did play the third one. I put some time in and beat that one. They can all be played separately. I guess there is a continuing story throughout this thing, but basically, they're all independent games you can play separately. But this is one people
for some reason. Go ahead. Todd, I thought you had played this before for some reason. I think it's because you're such a big
Lukey head, but this one just never came up into my possession, and I'm kind of sad for that, because just the short amount of time I could put in this week on this one, I loved it. I enjoyed it. This took me back to my youthful years clicking around the adventure games, and like you said up top, Steve, this is a game where it is an adventure game, but you know, they don't let you die. I mean, that's the frustrating part of a lot of adventure games is, oh, you took a wrong turn, you clicked on the wrong thing, immediately game over, and you have to reload. This one, you're just exploring, trying to combine items, talking to all these colorful characters on these islands, these non-monkey islands.
Yeah, the not-monkey yeah. islands, right? It's funny yep. you mentioned the not-dying thing, because not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but in the manual, they talk about their game design philosophy, and they throw buckets of shade at the other adventure games for just, like, killing you just for making a mistake or clicking the wrong thing. And they're like, look, we don't want to do that. We want to make you, like, think for yourself and solve puzzles and stuff. So we're not just going to kill you just for turning the wrong corner and dropping down a pit or something. Yep. So they know that they're breaking the mold of these PC adventure games.
I'm down with that, like, that philosophy purpose. Of gameplay where it's yeah. not,
because, like, why is that's not
it's
fun?
It's not fun and it's frustrating.
It's a trap.
I mean, this game is frustrating in different ways, which is that you will get stuck at a few points and just have no idea what to do. But I think that comes with any adventure game,
yeah.
like this in this kind of scope and scale. Mm-hmm. You'll just be stuck at some.
And
point.
It's a different way. Yeah, you'll be stuck because you're trying to figure the puzzle out, not because you picked up a book and got sucked into it forever, or, like, just because you clicked the wrong thing. Like, because there are games like that, and they're horrible and dumb.
Yeah, and this game is very well made in the sense that I don't believe you can get rid of or inappropriately use any item that you need to solve another puzzle, like that kind of thing.
Right, so you're, like, stuck and can't proceed anymore either, yeah.
Yeah, which used to be a big problem with you know, a lot of the text adventures. Right. Back
well,
in
even
the 80s.
Even the predecessors to this game, made by the same folks, the Maniac Mansions, where you would get to stuck at certain points just because you screwed up on one character.
Mm-hmm. So
that's true. So this is, like I said, this is not a game I had played before. But, like, I had read some gaming magazines growing up and whatever, and the name Guybrush Threepwood might be my most hated name in all of video games. Like, it's always bothered me. Like, it's just, like, the dumbest name. It's, like, one of those things that like, no one ever had to say out loud.
Yeah.
They just put it in text, like, all over the game. Like, sure. What is that?
I'm definitely with you, and I think that they are self-referential in this game. Like, they're always making fun of his name.
It's horrible. But I mean, the self-referential thing.
Still not a great name.
Everywhere. Like, that's the meta. This is the meta game of the time.
Yes. Meta.
Ball breaking and whatnot.
I know, Guybrush is not a very noble hero.
No.
How this game starts is he basically gets mugged by a short man.
Yes, a bossy man who runs the Scab Island.
Yes. And it's like, oh, well, if you're a hero, it's weird that you're getting mugged, held up by
he's not
guy.
Even
yes.
dangled over a bridge.
He's not even like a true hero. He's just like a the common man. He's just out to get a little cash, a little money. Mm-hmm. Maybe find a woman.
Yeah, he's a guy that, like, stumbled into this adventure almost.
Mm-hmm.
Although he is specifically looking for treasure in this.
Right, but who isn't? Aren't we all trying to get that coin? Trying to get that that cash money?
Yeah. The treasure of life. the big whoop is what he's looking for, which I guess is the biggest treasure in this world.
It's a little play on words.
Also. Also, a portal to another world or something that can kill LeChuck. I wasn't too clear on that.
Yeah.
It's something strange.
So, we should probably tackle this aspect.
Spoiler. Sure.
Did you guys read the spoilers for this game?
Yeah.
I watched the ending. And what
it's controversial. This is a spoiler alert for the Monkey Island. Kind of throws the entire game off kilter. You know, up until that point, you're Guybrush, clicking around, getting your treasures and solving your puzzles. And then this pulls...
Walk them up.
This pulls a golden axe, fellas. You remember? You remember golden axe?
I said yes, yep. But I don't.
So
I don't
at the end of the, yeah, this is super controversial, just because.
Yeah, that deep story-driven game, Golden Axe.
Well, let me give a refresher on Golden Axe to give people time to pause,
please,
and skip forward their iPads and iPods. At the end of Golden Axe, after you beat all the baddies, it cuts to a scene in an arcade, and you are somebody that's playing an arcade machine, and then all the baddies jump out of the machine.
Mm-hmm.
So, implying that the game you were playing as yourself, the player, was just what someone else was playing in their arcade.
The game was never real. It was just a game inside of a game.
But then somehow the baddies jump out. Is this the one where in the cutscene there was some weird sign in the background that didn't make sense? Do you remember what that was?
Give me a minute and I'll find it.
Sorry.
No, it's going to bother me now.
I know. I remember in my head, like, once the baddies run out of the door, like, it shows, like, a city skyline. There's some weird-ass sign. Oh, that was good. But I guess while Todd looks for that, we can go on to what the end of Monkey Island 2 is. Steve, did you watch it?
So I don't know. It's basically in the last 10 minutes of the game. There you find out that LeChuck is your brother.
And they have a scene ripped off directly from the Star Wars.
Yeah, they say.
Yes. Yeah, that
I mean,
was
this good. is a Lucre Man game, so of course they have to throw in the what is the quote here? I had it written down.
Come help me take this mask off.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, it's kind of stuffy in here. Help me out of this thing.
Said by Dark Vaderman at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, well, it's two ripoffs because they also do the search your feelings, you know it's true kind of thing,
mm-hmm. Right?
So you have that reveal, but then later the game continues and you kind of vanquish LeChuck. You use a voodoo doll
to rip his limbs off.
Yes, but then you're kind of you're snapped out of your fugue state as you come closer to LeChuck. And it turns out you're both little kids, and your parents are calling at you to come out. And you go out, and you find out the big whoop is like an amusement park, and you were just like in a portion of that amusement park.
Yeah. It's like you were high on a drug trip or something.
Like Pirate Land or whatever.
Yes,
this is the real Bay's kids situation.
Yeah, or were you, though? Because the last image is... You're going to the right hand side of the screen, and LeChuck looks at the screen and his eyes turn red, and then the game ends.
That's what confused. Well,
he's Chucky at that point. He's not LeChuck anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's LeChucky.
Yeah.
So it's implied that this whole game is just your brother and you
playing,
mm-hmm.
and him bothering you.
And I mean, there's a lot of explanations like, oh, this is canon or not. The games following just totally ignore this whole scene, and you're just back in Pirate Land.
Of course.
But there's a lot of people try to provide explanation to say, oh, you know, it kind of explains why Guybrush is such a immature guy, and he doesn't really know how to talk to people, and everybody's just, you know, talking in kids' rhymes and stuff like that.
I can see that.
I also think at one point he's trying to get alcohol in this game, and they won't let him. And I thought he was like a man pirate. I didn't realize he was like a teen pirate.
Well, look at this.
He's not. He's like an.
If you look at any pictures of him, he's got a sweet little baby face.
Yeah, but he's a pirate. I feel like you can't be a pirate if you're like.
He's not a pirate though. He's an adventurer.
Oh,
the pirate is one of those things. LeChuck, the ghost pirate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He's just a dude trying to get treasure.
All right, so here we go. The ending of Golden Axe. They run out into the streets, and they were in the arcade. It's called the arcade they were in is called Video Game Doi Doi Eru.
That's what it was. The arcade's name. Video game Doi Doi. Oh, that's amazing. It's so good.
Yeah. If you want to hear that reaction again, go back and listen to our Goldman Axe episode.
It's probably the exact same reaction. Video game, doy doy.
I think it's probably number 27 of the 78 different beat 'em ups we've played on this show.
What a change of pace for a game we're covering. A classic click 'em up, click 'em, walk 'em up, puzzle 'em up. Yeah. It's a good time.
I don't know if we've covered
Quest for Glory 4.
13th guess.
With a friend of the show, Jovial John. I can't remember.
We've covered more than you realize.
I can't remember the last.
Maybe 13th guess.
Click 'em, walk 'em up.
Would count. Click 'em up.
Yeah. We covered Maniac Mansion.
That's
as
true.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, as a third person click 'em up. Yeah, I guess Maniac Mansion and Dragon's Quest would count for sure.
We did do Dragon's,
Dragon's Quest.
Quest? Oh, we're gonna. You're gonna piss off some people if you say the wrong game like that.
Was that what it was? Was that right?
Quest for Glory is that one.
Oh, yes.
We did
sorry.
Do
whatever.
Yeah, we mentioned Dragon Quest before the show, which is probably why it's on your mind.
Or it just sounds like all the other games.
We did Shadowrun, which is just more of an RPG, but it's still walking, clicking, walking them and clicking them.
Yeah, it's like an RPG adventure. Click them up.
It's every genre.
Yeah. Golden Axe was episode 147 from February 15th. The year isn't here, but 2018. Was that this year?
February
this year.
Yeah, it was about 50 episodes ago.
So it's fresh on our minds.
That makes sense. Yeah. Video game doy doy. Popeye no Pichu volleyball. I had a feeling that was coming.
What was that one from again?
Man. It was from when we were covering this game.
Downtown Neketsu Koshin Kyoku Sureyuke Daiun Dokai All Star Special.
Oh dear.
We are masters of pronunciation on this show.
And speaking.
Yes. We're good speakers. So yeah, this was a fun little game.
It's refreshing. I think it's a refreshing game. Like all the characters you come across, there's not a, you know, they're all entertaining, they're all got their jokes going. You know, this is if you're a young mindset if you're like around 10, 12 years old. This is humor right up your alley. You're not watching South Park yet. You're not into the dirty stuff, the bad words. You can get some laughs out of this as a younger kid.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, very good voice acting in this one.
Before we get too many angry letters and emails, let me say the original version before 2010 remake had no voice acting, so you had to read it in your mind. It's theater of the mind.
It's all text and music.
Oh my goodness! I played the voice acted one, and
we have to stop now.
That was recorded in the year 2010, which is way beyond what we allow to cover here.
This is disgusting.
Well, that is the evaluation copy disc that I had. So
it's the one Lucas Hart sent you.
Yes.
As a certified reviewer of video games.
I guess you Sweet Baby Boys didn't see the voice acting then or hear it either.
The first time I heard it was the intro to this episode.
Oh. If you do get your hands on that newer edition, it's good. I actually thought Maurice LaMarche was in the cast, but no, it's mostly generic random people.
No, they do good. They brought in the same folks that made the sequels to this one, which I believe that 3 and on did have full voice acting, and they just used the same people to re-record it for the two remakes of the original two games.
Mm-hmm. I did think to myself, man, this game came out in 91 and it had full voice acting. It's so advanced. It's so ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Yep. I was a little off, but it's still good.
It is.
So I want to go back to this this ending. So is it implied that the first game and then all the games after are just two kids dicking around?
If you take that ending as canon, yes. Well, maybe not in a park. Maybe they're okay. taking it back home and doing a little play acting at home, but
a treehouse or something. Yeah, that's crazy.
Mm. Yeah. It's a real, real St. Elmo's fire situation. It's a real, real Patrick Duffy from Dallas situation.
Mm-hmm. It's a total Patrick Duffy.
Yes, as the kids say. No, I mean it is kind of a good little twisteroo there.
It is a sweet twist. You know, if I were playing this as a younger kid, it would have blown my mind straight out of my pants.
Well, it just seems unnecessary. Like, what?
They're just trying to twist and turn as much as they can. It does seem it is an unnecessary. I agree with you.
Like it doesn't add anything.
Correct.
It's just a twist for twist.
I mean, it
sake,
actually kind of ticks away. It just cuts off the story in the middle of the climactic ending. It just cuts it off right at the stem.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I feel like this whole game is kind of tongue in cheek, though. Like, you know, it's not like it's a somewhat deep story-driven game, but it's not an emotional game.
Oh, no, you're right.
I mean, I get they've been joking around the whole time or whatever, and it's not like it ruins it. I just didn't understand why. But
well, it does ruin it in the fact that you know, you've been trying to make it through as Guybrush Threepwood, and turns out all that progress was for naught.
Yes.
Well, it makes me wonder what the kid's real name is, because if your brother's name is Chuck,
I think it's probably Guy or something like that.
And his pirate name is LeChuck, then that implies that maybe your name is something a little more normal.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why the name is so stupid. Some little kid made it up.
Yeah.
You think they planned this from the start, the first game? They probably planned it out.
Clearly. They knew that it would be great, and they'd make a sequel.
It's a real real George Lucas situation. George Lucas art situation.
The big twist. The big twist at the end of the second episode. It all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that probably wasn't a coincidence. I mean, from the original creator, Ron Gilbert, I believe his name is.
Ron Brush Gilwood.
He left the company after this, so there's also some fan dissatisfaction with that. And he has maintained that they went in a completely different direction than what he wanted to do for the third game and onward. So, just because I'm kind of mentioning it, where is it now? So this was a commercial failure, according to Wikipedia. There were two sequels by LucasArts and a reboot by Telltale Games in their style in 2011. Right now, Disney owns this hot IP, and Gilbert is on record as wanting to buy the rights for it and Maniac Mansion. But so far, if Disney has talked to him or answered his queries about it, he has not in turn told anyone else about it. So right now it's...
Did Gilbert do Maniac Mansion?
I think he did Maniac Mansion, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I said.
I think Maniac Mansion is a Cyndi Lauper song.
Okay. Are you sure you're not thinking of Night Trap?
Oh, God. I wish I could hear that Night Trap music right now.
Party! It would be nice.
Here we go! All right! Night Trap!
So,
I love it so much.
If I had to go back a few pages on my drop machine.
Yeah, a few pages.
I
to swivel the button.
I love how off she is, like, already by, like, the second line of that song. Like, it's just way off, and they're like, nah, we don't need to do a second take on that. Just rip. Let's just let go.
They didn't have the time.
Now let's bring up the video you shared with us a few weeks back of them singing the song without the music. That's quite a watch.
Oh, yes.
That was very odd, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for
it's like the original feed or something.
Yes, for a hot minute on the Facebook Night Trap group, which of course I'm a member of now because of the show. they were just dubbing different music over it, and it really did work really well with a bunch of different songs. So the best was probably Closer by Nine Inch Nails. Somebody put the music for that over that video of them. So
not sure that makes sense, but
no, it's just
I'd give it a whirl.
You know, it's just silly, like Mad Libs. Mad Libs shouldn't make sense, but they're funny.
Yeah. Or Monkey Island.
Yeah. Oh, good wraparound there.
Same thing.
You know, Todd, were you able to find any reasons why this is the most best game of all time?
Sure. You know, I think we think this game is quite okay and pretty good in other cases. But I do have, let me count them up here. I have 4 reasons why Monkey Island 2 is the most best game of all time.
Wow.
All right. First one is titled Classic, and it's written by Adam in November of 2012. Adam wrote, I'm a very big fan of the classic LucasArts graphic adventures. Out of all these great games that I grew up with, Monkey Island 2 is definitely one of my favorites. Has the traditional LucasArts slapstick comedy and challenging puzzles. Although, I will say, this seller is crazy if he thinks he's getting almost 300 for it. I know it's an unopened copy and they don't produce them anymore, but really, back in the day, they used to go for $25 tops. Nice try and good luck, pal. 5 stars.
Wow. Good luck.
All righty. The next one. Next one's titled Five.
Sorry, what is the what is the running price these days? Do we know?
According to Adam, it's 300 for an unopened copy.
Well, according to the seller that Adam is furious with, it's 300. But I don't know what the actual.
I do not know either. Usually, Steve is the one with those stats ready to go.
Just kind of hoping he'd be looking it up right now.
Oh wait, what?
Okay.
Okay. Next one.
Time for my segment. Time to zone.
Sorry, I heard. I heard my own voice.
Oh, Todd's talking. Break time.
No, sorry. I was combing through 1-star Yelp reviews.
Hang on, my pot's boiling. Okay.
gotta walk my dog again.
Cram some za in my face.
Slam it. Slam
smash
that
za. Oops. These are all pre-show jokes that no one will
understand. Partial profanity.
Right, I'm sorry.
Let's add another one to the list. Oh boy, what happened? All right.
The next one is titled 5 Stars, and it's written by Barb Pendergrass. In October of 2018. And just
last month. Almost. 6 weeks
ago. And Barb wrote... this is for like the PC version of the game that people are selling used on Amazon. And Barb wrote, fun find for my son's collection. Great game, 5 stars.
Thanks. Very helpful. Once again, their child played it. And not them. So it's 5 stars.
Sounds like a big fan.
Thanks,
Bob. Here's one that might help on the price question we had. And it's written by Freddie.
Mm.
and it's titled Strong Candidate for Best PC Game Ever, and is written in January of 2009. Freddy wrote, "This game was made in the early 90s, but has not lost its magic now in 2009. The humor is top-notch, the graphics are pretty good, the music is great, and the interface is simple. This is what a computer game should be. They don't make them like this anymore, folks. Good luck getting a legit copy, though. As you can see, it ain't cheap." 5 stars.
Oh, it ain't cheap.
Good luck, losers.
Well, it's a good thing we got all those on click-throughs so we could each buy a copy, because he's not wrong.
Yeah. Right, this last review is an audio review.
There's four.
I found an audio review, and it's from a show called Games Master, a UK video game show from the early 90s.
Are you plugging other shows?
From the early 90s. From the early, okay. This is a review right when the game came out. So here's that one.
Right.
And while our contestants tread wearily away, we'll cast our eyes on this week's reviews. Next up on the PC, LeChuck's back, and this time he's irate as everybody's favourite pirate returns in The Secret of Monkey Island 2.
The playability, it can't be beaten in my opinion. There's a lot of amusing text in there, and it's a very, very strong title indeed.
It's funny, it's sets a nice level of challenge, and it's very addictive. It's brilliant.
This game is so brilliant that I want to run away with it and marry it.
They gave it a 94%.
Took a turn at the end. Oh, wow.
What the hell?
That could be extrapolated out to 5 stars, I believe. 94%. Yeah. Rounding up.
Is there like a Dalek in there or something?
No, it's just their sound effects for their graphics.
Oh, like a robot.
I'm kind of worried about that lady, though.
Yeah. She wants to run away with it and marry it.
It's very lonely.
Well,
is she still single? Do we know?
Asking for you or your friend Mike?
Just curious. 20 years later.
Oh, that's fine. So I had a 1-star Yelp review this week, which I clearly researched well in advance. It is for the Monkey Island Indoor Play Center in Melrose Park, Illinois. Please do not have a party here. First off, I planned a party for 30 guests. I ordered pizza, one all sausage, and the other half cheese, half sausage. I guess whoever took the order over the phone messed the order up, because when I got there, they had all one cheese and one half cheese, half sausage. Then she told me that she couldn't fix it because the order was already put, but I could order another and pay. Also, the lady over the phone told me they would stop letting people in and ask for my permission before letting anyone else in once I made it to my 30-guest package. They did not do this at all. I ended up paying for 6 extra guests. The Sprite was flat and tastes like water. I had to go out and find the host multiple times to get things I needed, which was such an inconvenience. The color of the tablecloths were red and orange when I specifically asked for all red. I ended up having to order and pay an extra sausage peas, because who eats all cheese? The customer service here is so poor, I would never recommend any to have a party here.
Wow, scathing.
And that's from Angel A.
Jeez.
In August.
How much sausage za does that lady need to slam?
More like Devil A.
She wanted 2 pizzas with 3/4 of them having sausage.
Slam that sausage.
And I guess she'll be happy to know that Monkey Island is now closed. So
probably just got sued by Disney when Disney took over. They love suing people.
Also, considering what time of year it is, what a slam on Kevin McAllister. She's like, who eats all cheese pizza?
I feel like I feel like, why are you complaining about getting a cheese pizza? Isn't that normal for a party? A party with 30, also 30 people, and they got 2 pizzas? Yeah, I didn't realize.
I had to buy a third pizza for my 30 guests. This is outrageous.
Oh, wait a minute. 36. Yeah,
I didn't do the math until now.
A lovely cheese pizza just for me.
Perfect. Thank you, Tom.
So, it is closed as of September 2018. So really, Angel wrote that review, and then within 30 days, they were locked down.
Yeah.
Well, the owner saw that review and had to shutter it immediately.
They're
doing
so
rework
ashamed.
Right now. They're trying to train up their employees.
Buying new tablecloths.
Hey, she said all red, not red and orange, you dingbat.
What?
I like that is a specific request, too. Like, no, it can't. Yeah, it can't be checkerboard. My kid's party at Monkey Island will be ruined if there's a checkerboard tablecloth there.
Well, she just needed something else to pile on with. She was on a roll. Couldn't stop her.
I'm looking at this place, and it basically looks like a crappy Discovery Zone, if you guys had Discovery Zone back in the day.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was picturing.
So, not so fun times at this Monkey Island. But it's time to move along to our other regular segments here. Huel, were you able to find a manual for this one?
I was. It's okay. It's a early 90s PC manual, which is a red flag right from the start. It has a nice, cool piratey font, which is cool. But a lot of words. A shockingly low amount of sass. Like, you think of the sass that game has, you think you probably like, oh, this manual is packed with sass.
Oh yeah, I'd expect so much sass in there.
This is basically sassless, if I had to describe it. Oh. It's just all very, not technical, but like, just very blah. They just put it out there, like, this is what you do, this is how you click around. It has screenshots, very little drawings. Really what's helping it out is the previous shade I was talking about, making fun of other adventure games. So it would have been pretty low if not for that. That brings it up a tiny bit. But unfortunately, I have to go 1.5 Mario 2s.
Wow.
Ooh.
It's one of the lower ones. I mean, it's not terrible. It's just, it's disappointing. I'll say that.
Mm. Yeah, considering everything else about this game is pretty spot on.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's a fun game, sass-filled game that you think, oh, might be a fun manual. Nope.
Yeah, and it's coming from your boy, Lucas.
Your boy, the inventor of Papa Vader. Can't do it. But, gotta call it out. Manual written by Judith Lucero and designed by Mark Shepard.
Oh, yes. Yeah. How did Mookie, Stick, and Tonto get involved with the plague?
So, sorry, guys. 1.5.
Dang.
There is fun part, though, where they explain what a cutscene is. So maybe people weren't familiar with them as much in 1991. So they'd be like, hey, you're not going to be able to control it during this part. It's fine. Just chill out. I thought that was cool. That was fun.
That was your favorite part where they describe a
cutscene?
No,
my favorite part was the making fun of other adventure games. But that was another part I appreciated.
Okay. Top three highlight.
Not feeling good about the score I sent in, but go ahead.
Well, okay. Well, this week in the Herzog hierarchy, it's checking in at Herzog Newton.
Oh.
Which is
Herzog 9. Okay, yeah. It's a pretty good score.
So the only reason I would not give this a perfect score is I played it and liked it this week, but you know, I don't know if I could stick with this like through. I just feel like this is one of them relics of a bygone era.
It is, right, and it's in a genre you have to have a liking for to just to kick it off with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not as bad as like this game's playable. It's playable and it's still pretty fun. I don't know if I'd be able to stick through with all the puzzles, which in all of these types of games they're really esoteric. Like at one point you have to set up a trap to catch a mouse to put into a bowl of soup to then get the chef fired for that. And then once you get the chef fired, you get hired as the new chef and you get like 420 of the currency and then you use that somewhere else in the game. And it's just like a long, long string of quests. So
yeah, if I was playing this as a kid, I'd probably be completely lost. We didn't really talk about the puzzles that much, but a lot of them are pretty complicated, mm-hmm. which I guess is standard fare for an adventure game. But
yeah,
at some point, as I was just like, without a guide, I'd have no idea what was happening.
The only advantage in this game versus a bunch of other ones is the fact that because you can't die and you can't like get yourself into a corner. Like, you can kind of trial and error your way through this game.
Right.
But even then, there's still, like, a lot of options. Like, it's not like, oh, there's only two paths. No, like, even right from the beginning, you have multiple rooms and a lot of different people you can talk to. And it's just, it's easy to get lost. So that's the only reason why I'd give it a 9. So.
That makes sense.
Todd, how about your rating scale here?
Sure, my rating is the DuckTales scale, which has two primary factors. Those factors being nostalgia and replayability. Nostalgia, pretty good nostalgia for a Monkey Island series as a whole, LucasArts games, adventure games as a whole. I've put my time into other ones. So it brings emotion when I see it and I click around in there. Even though I've not played this one specifically, I feel some nostalgia just due to the fact it exists. So I have some nostalgia there. Mm-hmm. Replayability. You know, it's as replayable as any other adventure game, which is fun if you feel like going and just playing through a story you already know. I mean, it's tough to say that it's totally replayable because, you know, puzzles do have one solution, and once you know it, there's not much to figure out. But the cast of characters makes you want to go see them again. So there's slight replayability there. So I'll calculate in Secret, the Monkey Island 2 of LeChuck Revenge in at a point, 0.51 DuckTales.
Ooh, okay.
Oh,
close.
I was really hoping you would say 0.68.
Yeah.
Because Huel, that was his first guess, and then he changed it to 0.58. but just to be clear here,
that was before Todd started talking. Yeah.
Yes. Huel is a man of integrity, and every time he guesses the DuckTale rating, he does it before Todd starts speaking. So
before he's even asked.
Play the game, folks.
Yes,
that's how the game is played. Otherwise, yes. what kind of man would I be?
Yes,
yeah. I refactored the nostalgia and brought it down a little bit, but not far enough. But still pretty close.
You know, I was surprised once I heard him talking about his nostalgia for the series. I thought, oh, it's gonna be more than 0.58, but no. It was below.
Mm-hmm. Sure was.
I can do math sometimes. So Todd, was there anything else you wanted to share about old LeChuck here?
Just the other guy behind this, the big boy behind this one, Tim Schafer. We have to just say his name. Everybody loves that dude. He made Psychonauts after this, and he's still making those games today. So there we go. Got that off the list. There we go. That's it.
Check.
You know, this is a fun little romp. Nice. Fun romp. It is available on your iPads and your iPhones and on the Steam, on the remixed, rehanced edition. So you can get it there. I think it's like $10 or something like that. But it has achievements now, full voice acting and the upgraded graphics. Ooh. Might be a fun one to take around with you on your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nice little click them up.
Yep. Huel, was there anything else you wanted to add here?
Oh, not really.
All right,
fun,
then.
Fun, correct. Maybe watch playthrough. It's a good time.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. Well, it's time to move on to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any mails this week?
You know what? I did, but we're running long today, folks and listeners. And I really want to get to an ask. I've been holding off on the ask, so I'm going to save my time for an ask.
Good point.
Oh, all right. Huel, how about you? Did you get any mails?
Well, luckily I did. Dear YPV, I'm tired of this reputation as an uptight grump. I got a Google alert from myself last week for your Beethoven episode, and sure enough, you guys talked about it there too. How would you like it if a big dog came into your house and got spit and mud everywhere? Like nothing's ever bothered you before. I know you guys like video games, so I'm wondering, what's made you grumpy about video games? And that's from Charles Grodin.
Ah, okay.
Oh.
Noted political commentator, Charles Grodin.
Yeah. Yep.
So the question is, what kind of games make us frustrated or mechanics or what?
What's made you grumpy about video games? So I'll give my example since I got this earlier. I just recently got, well, not recently, but when Red Dead 2 came out, I got a PS4 a little bit before that. And those dang installs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you buy the disc, you got to wait an hour for it to install. I just want to play the darn thing.
Hey, man, listen to me. Let me hop on that horse. Go for a ride.
Yeah.
Where's my horse?
Darn tootin', I want to play.
So, I mean, I get it. They're bigger games. Everything's more detailed and there's more fun, but let me just play the dang game.
Good peeve. Good peeve.
Mm-hmm.
Peeve to the max.
Yeah.
I would say my current peeve that I'm facing right now is, as I mentioned previously, I had an early Christmas in my house. We opened our Switch up and got our games going. I got the Smash Brothers out. We've been playing some Smash, crushing that Mario, crushing that Ness from Earthbound.
Crush them cats.
My current peeve is how much those dang controllers cost on the Nintendo. What's going on? Like $80 for a controller? What's going on there? I just want to play. It's I just want to slap my son around a little in Smash Brothers.
Gotta pay a premium for that. Yeah, I guess the technology's gotten so insane that they can justify $80 controllers. Like, I feel like the Wiimotes weren't even that expensive.
Yeah, I believe that. I feel like they were cheaper, although I can't recall exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, they were definitely cheaper than, like, $8.
Yeah. I think by now, like, the components probably, they can make them easier or cheaper. I don't know.
They're
but
packing so many gyroscopes in there that that's how much it costs nowadays.
Exactly. That's the thing. Or the batteries, like all that other stuff.
And the batteries and the the gyros. Or the gyroscopes, as they say over there.
Oh, right.
I have a pretty, I think, not unique one for in-game stuff, which is bad companion AI.
Yeah. So, like, they still haven't figured that out.
No. It's a pretty standard one throughout the ages. You know, it's in modern games. It's in Fallout 76. You have to do the escort missions, which are always the worst mission. So you're just trying to protect like a little robot as it walks around and, nope, it's impossible. It does not take a straight line to where it's going. It just wanders into fields and stuff like that. And
it has no self-preservation. Mm-hmm. Just does not care.
Mm-hmm.
That's most of these companion missions.
Yes. And it's always, I don't know. I always feel like it's, the AI in games like this is either like way too dumb or way too smart. Like sometimes in the first person shooters, you know, it's just they'll kill everything or kill you the second you like
come into their vision. So, you know.
Or my favorite is whenever you're lining up a shot, sniper shot, ready to go, take out the bad boys, and then they just walk right in front of you right when you pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what you doing over here?
Hey, Todd, what's up?
Yep.
Well, Todd, you mentioned it, so do we have an ask this week?
Yeah, we do have an ask, and I'm gonna do it live because I have not previewed this clip. We have somebody needs our help, so let's have a Christmas themed ask the Sweet Boys. Wow, that really went together.
So really festive.
Oh my! I've never heard that clip before, but there it was. Okay, so we will. Here we go. If you have live questions, send it in to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will help you out. We'll keep your questions anonymous and help you out with what you need. So this one is from an anonymous, and it's tied. The subject of their email, their ask, is called "Found my Christmas presents and I hate them. What do I do now?"
Oh boy!
And anonymous wrote, "I accidentally found them while trying to look for something, and they're so bad. I'm not ungrateful, but they look like they should be for an 11-year-old. They bought me a makeup set, but it's really cheap, and they bought me the same one when I was like 10. Everything from that brand makes my skin break out and get rashes. I don't really wear makeup anymore anyway, so to me, it was a waste of money, because I'm not going to use it anyway. What do I do?"
How old did they say they were?
They didn't leave an age.
47.
Makes sense. So if you're... I don't think you'd be that upset about something that you're literally allergic to. Like, I don't know if that's... if you're really off base there.
Yeah, I mean, this is a life-threatening situation here. Somebody's life is at risk.
Apparently.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm thinking you didn't give them very good directions on what to get you. Maybe most people make a list. It sounds like you still live with your parents. I'm not sure. Sounds like you're a kid of some sort, maybe a teenager. I think you're just going through that phase, becoming a young adult. So all those kiddie things need to be left behind. I say embrace it. Don't grow up. Stay there. Stay a child. Shirn all responsibility.
Well, I mean, this person's parents are obviously treating them like an adult, buying them makeup. Usually, you know, I'm not letting, you know, let me tell you this, boys. Fellas, I'm not buying makeup for my kids until they are old enough to handle it. It shows they
have to handle it.
Until they're old enough to prove they can handle it.
How can they prove it if you don't give them any?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough situation.
It's like drugs.
Yeah, as long as they do the makeup in your house, as you can observe them and keep an eye on them, then it should be okay.
And then you can invite their friends over, and you can do it with their friends too.
Yeah. So no one leaves, no one drives, everyone's here putting makeup on. It's fine.
Scoot over. Mommy's got to put on some shadow.
Mommy's got to go get you a new daddy.
Oh, my.
Listen, it's
way darker.
It's the 90s. You got to prepare for this kind of thing now.
It is?
Yeah. In the universe of this show, kind of.
So. Yeah.
Well, I think
He helped that person, I guess.
I'm not sure, but no one else seemed to have an answer, so.
You know, this, I feel like that was maybe a question we should have, you know, tried to help that person when we had a female guest. But
well, who said they're female? I mean, it could be a, you know, could be a young man.
Well, that's a good point. You're right. I'm sorry for being gender conforming. That was my mistake.
Monster.
Yeah. Well, on that note, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we wrap up?
Is Guybrush a French name?
Is that from the game? Or
is, that is
are you just asking?
Sorry, from the game, and I'm asking.
I will go with no.
No. Because then it'd be Guybrush.
Maybe it is.
Yeah. Huel, is there anything else you want to add?
Wow, a whole bucket of mud. It's mine. All mine.
Well, here's a little snifferoo from next week's episode.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.